Who's enjoying our series? Okay, five people, yes. Woo-hoo. If one life changes, that's great. If five lives changes, that's great. How many are enjoying the series? Okay. So we're nearly a church. Okay, how many of you guys are enjoying the series? Okay, yeah, 10 people. Woo! I'm really, really, I don't know about you, but I'm really excited for this year. I don't know about you, but there's anticipation each week. When I enter a new week, I'm just like my body's like, oh, come on, end of the year. But my spirit's like, come on, let's keep going. There's something great ahead for us, and there's great things ahead for me. It's not just about you, it's about me too. And it's funny, yeah, it's like after the gym last night, God was like speaking and downloading some stuff, and he's like to me, he's like, Jordan, are you willing to go deeper? Great question. Not a question you want to hear. I would rather hear from him, Jordan, I'm about to deposit $1 million into the church account so you can build the church. That's what I want to hear. But he's like to me, Jordan, are you willing to go deeper? And as soon as I was driving closer to home, going to the garage, I was like, actually, am I willing to go deeper? I don't know about you. Sometimes our response is not yes and amen. Sometimes our response is like, count the cost, Jordan, because if you say yes, you better not be all talky talk, because you'll be accountable for what you say to him. And it's funny because I didn't write this down, but it aligns through our message today. And the title of my message today, if you're writing notes, it's called The Power of Words. Everyone say the power of words. So Hebrews 11:3 says this: by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Matthew 12:36-37 says, I tell you, listen to this, on the day of judgment, listen to this, family. On the day of judgment, you will give account for every careless word they speak. Oh! We will give account on judgment day of every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, but also by your words you'll be condemned. Let's pray. Let's ask God for some guidance here, okay? So, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you give us guidance this morning, and that, Lord Father, I pray your voice be heard in the midst of this. I pray, Lord Father, our ears be open to receive, but our hearts also be open to receive. And I pray anything that is blocking us to receive your word this morning, we push that aside and we surrender it to you this morning. That your word be sown onto good soil this morning as it's preached. In the name of Jesus, we pray, all God's people say, amen, amen, amen. So today we're going to be talking about the power of words. Say the power of words. We know that our words have power, but we don't realize how careless or tameless we use them. If you don't actually sit by yourself and sit aside, how's my word life? And I'm not talking about Bible word. I'm talking about how's my speech life. We don't actually sit down and look at ourselves and go, how's my speech life today? Because 2 minutes ago before we entered church, I sweared at somebody else because they cut me off down the road. True story. Not for me, but from someone in here or not. Another church down the road. Another church down the road, not us, because we're great. Amen. Amen. But we know that our words have power. And so, who's got those little... Oh, you, my wife does. My wife is going to hand out some things with Marcus. Real quick, we're going to examine and really think about our words. So, she's coming around and Marcus is coming around with this little piece of paper. It's just for you. It's a rating sheet, okay? Just rate the sheet and be honest with it. Do not lie to yourself, because all you're lying to is your breakthrough. Are you guys all right? Don't lie to yourself. Be truthful. So there's five questions on there. How are your words to your spouse? How are your words to your children? How are your words to your family? How are your words to your enemy? And then how are your words to yourself? And up here, we got five stars, right? You got five stars underneath. Is that up there? Five stars. So the star five means that you're perfect. You're Jesus, okay? So if you're five and perfect, you don't have to come to church anymore, okay? Because you're perfect. Five is perfect. You don't have to come to church again. We'll probably have to serve you because you're Jesus, okay? Five. Number four, four is good or above average. Three is satisfactory or average. Second is below average or poor. Number one is needs improvement, means a lot of improvement. If you're one, you need a lot of improvement. But please be honest. So tick the star that you're on each question. If you don't have a pen, ask your neighbor. Yeah. Just tick the star that you're on. It's not hard. Whatever the first answer comes to you, that's probably the right one. Don't second guess yourself. So once you're done, so the fifth star is 5 points, the fourth star is 4 points, etc. So what you're going to do is that you're going to add up those points. So if it's one star, two star, three star, four star, five star, you're going to add them all up, and then you're going to divide it by five, and that will give you the average. So add up all those numbers, whatever star you tick, that's the number. Add all that up and divide it by five. Oh, what? There's one question missing. Huh? Yes. But this will give you the average. Everyone got the average? It's only five. If you need a double check, tell your neighbor, can you check my answers, please? Unless it's real bad, you don't want to ask your neighbor. Okay, I want to ask a truthful question. You only need to raise your hand, and I'm not going to ask you for the number. I'm just going to ask you for the roundabout. Who is below three? Any below threes? Yep, some below threes. Okay, who is above three? Okay, guys, so if people were below three, only a few, that means the rest of you should be over three. Okay, if you have a negative, then let's go counseling after this, and then we'll sort it out. But if you're above three, any above threes? Any fives? Five at the back? Thomas, five at the back? Are you sure? Let me talk to your wife. I'll ask your wife. So, what if you're below three or above three? If any fives? No fives? Okay, if you're not a five, that means we all got something to work on when it comes to our words. I just wanted to do that quick exercise just to really be have a truthful, like a little, oh yeah, cool. I want it to be more than cool. I want it to be like, oh man, I've got a two, or oh man, I've got a one, or oh man, I've got a four. That means there's somewhere in the area of my life where I'm not using my words right, or I'm using them carelessly. Are we okay? And so we understand that the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Everyone say amen? I'm feedbacking hard. I don't know why. Hello? Okay. So the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3. Let's go back to that. Let's go over this real quick. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So if you're writing notes today, the word framed means a few things, but only one thing. It means a few things, but it's all-encompassing one thing. Framed means created, furnished, equipped, and prepared for a use or purpose. If you're writing that now, I encourage you to write that down. Framed means created, furnished, equipped, and prepared for use or purpose. Everyone got that? So with this understanding, with frame, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. With this understanding, we see that God's words are done with a purpose. God's word is done with a purpose, that every word that God speaks and has spoken is around purpose. Which means what? You might be going, okay, cool, it's around purpose. We probably already know that. Which means this, he doesn't use his words flippantly. He doesn't waste words when he speaks. That when he speaks, he's speaking something to existence. Because when the worlds were framed, he spoke it into being. So when he said, let there be light, he was speaking something into existence. And so when God says, you are made in my image, what are you saying? That he's speaking something to existence, because the world is saying that you're not made in his image, but he's reminding you with his word. Because he doesn't use it carelessly. Are we okay? That every word that God speaks and has spoken is around purpose. Isaiah 51:11 says this, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me what? Void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, this is what I put it down in one sentence. God's words is equipped with a mission. Are you all right? God's words is equipped with a mission. God's words aren't aimless, but one that brings him glory and one that fulfills its reason why it was sent. Oh, come on now. Like, I'm getting excited about his word. I want to say this again. God's words is equipped with a mission. Amen? Which means God's words aren't aimless. He's not just saying something and hoping something will be. It's with purpose. He knows what he's talking about. So when he says that he's got something great for your life, he means it. Why? Because he's aiming at it. He's like, this is it. Because God's word isn't aimless, but one that brings him glory and one that fulfills its reason why it was sent, so it won't return void, but it will accomplish for which it was sent by. And even though I'm currently talking about the essence and character of God, but I'm also challenging us on our words. And the question I want to ask us today, and I want you to really think about it, when you speak, are you speaking with purpose? Think about your family situation. Think about your enemy situation. Think about your situation with yourself. Think about your kids and your colleagues. Think about your sphere of influence. When you speak, are you speaking with purpose? Because we don't realize how much words we waste in a day. Why is this important? Because Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. Which means death and life can only come from the tongue. There's no in-between in the tongue. It's death and life. And if there's no purpose in what we're speaking, it's aimless. If there's no purpose in what we're speaking, there's no mission to it. It's just, and you know what? I realized when I looked at the Word of God, when I looked at myself, I actually talk a lot. I talk a lot, and I waste my words. And I'm not saying not having conversation with people. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about real conversations. We waste our words. Because the truth is, we don't speak with purpose most of the time. We don't speak with a mission. Because the truth is this, there is no mission to our words. Because the truth is this, sometimes the mission of our words is sometimes to hurt the person that hurt us first. Sometimes with our words, the truth is that the mission is to shut our kids up. Oh, just me, okay. The truth sometimes is that we're just trying to get our spouse to get off our case. I said spouse, so it can be husband or wife, okay? Because it's usually the husband, but I'm not gonna be like wifeish, husbandish, eh? I'm just saying spouse. Because the truth is sometimes when we speak, it's just to get out of trouble. When we speak, we just use it to say, oh, can you just get off my case? And you just say the words carelessly. Oh, I'm sorry. When my son does that, I get mad. Because he's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, son, come back here. You don't mean that. Yes, he's just saying sorry so I can stop talking to him. And parents know that, and you probably do that to other people. But I want them to really think, what did you do wrong? Because if you don't know what you did wrong, well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to do it again. And you know what's going to happen when you do that again? I want to tell you off again. And you know what? We use our same words to God. God, I'm sorry. But you don't even know what you're sorry about. God, Lord, forgive me. What are you asking for forgiveness for? Oh, because it's the right thing. No. You need to ask God why you're asking for forgiveness. Because you know sometimes God says keep short accounts of your sin, right? And some of my sin in my day, I know about. But there's some things that I don't know about. And I want to ask God. I always ask him this. Lord, please forgive me for blah, 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 if I know it. But also, Lord, if there's something that I don't know, can you please reveal to me of the things that I need to ask you for forgiveness for? And it's not because he's not going to forgive me for the things that I don't speak about. It's just because I want to be aware. Because death and life are in the tongue. And so I want to ask this. I'm going to just ask questions because the questions are good. That's how Jesus did it when he was growing up. He asked questions. So never a time in Jesus' life where he didn't ask questions. Whenever something happened, he just asked the question. Why? Because it made them think. It made them go like, oh, they sit back. Cool. That's what he did. And so questions are good. And the question I want to ask us this morning, what if we used our words how God used his words? So think about how God used his words and created heaven and earth, created all things just with the words. What if the people of God aligned to what God did at the beginning, which was purpose and mission to every word that he spoke? You know how we said just before that the worlds were framed by the word of God? Yeah? In Hebrews 11, the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know that gives us insight about us? That insight is this. Our lives are framed by our words. Our words frame our lives. Our words can either build momentum, but our words can kill momentum. Our words can either build us up or build up, or our words can tear down. And you know what the significant thing is? We can go back to the Bible, because the Bible tells us a lot about the Word of God, about the words that we say too. Ephesians 4:29 says this, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear it. So not only are people looking at you, they're hearing you. They're listening. And you know what? I might be having a conversation with Marcus right here, right? And I might think it's private, but what if people are around me? You know I'm accountable for what I say to Marcus because others are listening. And we think, oh, no, they shouldn't be in our business. But God says, let our speech encourage others. He didn't say just the person you're talking to, but anyone who's around you. I have no clue why God put this on my heart all week. But I just know there is power in our words. When you're a Christian, you're getting critiqued by someone watching your life. And I'm sorry, but that's just part of life. You are going to be critiqued. Why? Why? Because Jesus was critiqued always. Everything he did, the church is the one who goes, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. He was critiqued. But they also are not just critiquing your life by looking at it. They're critiquing it by how you speak. People are watching you. And you know what? The reason why many people don't tell their friends or family that they're Christian, because there's accountability to it. There's accountability when you say to someone who in your family, oh, I go to church, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. You know what happens there? Right after that point, if you move away from Jesus and you start doing all this other stuff, and they go, hey, I thought you loved Jesus. And then you start yelling at them, you like swearing at them. It's like, why are you talking to me like, I thought you loved Jesus. Because when you're a Christian, your life gets critiqued, but also your words get critiqued and how you speak. The Bible says our words are to be encouraging to those who hear them. You don't know who's listening to you. We just got to have a blanket thing.
We don't know who was listening to us.
And you know those private conversations that you have in a locked room by yourself? You think it's just used to, but it's you, the other person, the Holy Spirit, and the enemy. And the enemy's waiting. I want to use something if they go left. The moment that we open a door for the enemy, when we start slandering, when we start about this person, that person, you know what the enemy's doing? I'm waiting to hear what you say so I can use the very words. So there's no private conversation. Holy Spirit's there listening to you. That's why what's done in private, God will put it out into the open. And so if I don't love my wife privately, in the open, people will see that I don't love my wife. If I don't love my son privately, eventually the world will see I don't love my son. Because what's done in private will always be revealed to people. When Jesus done things in private, what happened? Ministry, healing. That only took place because of the private. The conversations he had with God. He didn't just pray willy-nilly. He prayed towards the Father. And we don't really know what he prayed, but we just know the moment that he had when he was sweating blood and saying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And I just thought, God, you probably said that through all the whole time in your ministry. Not my will, but your will be done. Are we okay? So the Bible, what we just said, the Bible says to be encouraging to those who hear them when you speak. It's not about us being all sunshine and roses when we speak. You know, like, I'm not telling us to be, happy. I'm not telling us to be like that. It's pointing out and checking on us on how we say it and what we say. For example, you can correct someone for something they did wrong, right? If someone did something, like I do it with my son, that if someone did something wrong, you can correct them. But then in that correcting, you belittle them. In that correcting, you make them feel insignificant. Or there's the other way. Somebody does something wrong, you correct them, and then you empower them to be the better version of themselves. You empower them and inspire them to say, hey, this is not the right way, but this is the way. And the Bible points something significant out. In Matthew 12, 34 to 35, it says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. What is he saying right here? That when you speak, you're speaking also from your heart. That's significant for us to understand when we speak, my heart's speaking too. You know how people go, say something real, like real left field, like real hurtful. And then you go, oh, I didn't mean it. No, you did mean it because out of your mouth, your heart speaks. And the only reason you speak evil is because evil's within your heart. That's sore. That's sore to admit, to say, I've got an evil heart. How do you measure your evil heart? By what you say. Because if what you say is evil, it's not because you're just saying a random thing. It's in here. For example, true story. I'm not going to tell you who, because there's been many moments of that who. But I've noticed when I start speaking bad about somebody, I do it to my wife, that fly is back again. It must love the presence of the Lord to be here again. It's literally sitting on my iPad. But if I notice I'm speaking bad about something or someone, because it does happen, I'm not going to pretend that I don't, because I'm human like you. And people hurt me like they hurt you. It just hurts more when people do it and I give so much. It hurts me even more. But when someone hurt me and that, and I start talking badly about this person, the one tool that God's given me over the past, so we've been married 10 years this year, so probably past 4 years, this tool, and he always points out to me, Jordan, how's your heart? When I start speaking badly about someone or start thinking badly about someone, God pushes back to me, because it's a question that I always remember. He questions me in my alone time, not with my wife around, not with anyone around. He just questions me when I'm in my car, randomly just driving or just in the gym. And then all of a sudden, God's like, Jordan, how's your heart? Oh, I'm good, Lord. I'm good, Lord. And then he reminds me of my thoughts about a particular person. Or he reminds me of a conversation that I said about this particular person. And then God's like, but you spoke ill of this person. And because you did, what is in your heart? Because we can't just say, oh, because they hurt me. No, no, no. What's in your heart? Because most of the time when we speak ill about someone, it means that there's unforgiveness in here. It means there is bitterness and envy against this person here. But God says, flee from all envy, flee from all malice, flee from all bad talk. And I'm being honest with you. There are times that I'm thinking bad or saying something bad about somebody in my private space. And then God's like, Jordan, your heart's wrong. And then I have to go, God, please forgive me. And that any time that I come into that moment of like, just, this person, God's like, I just reminded, like, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. Because you know what? Unforgiveness and bitterness locks me up, not the person. Everything that's happening here locks me up and not the person that I'm angry at. So why do I have to continue having envy in my heart for somebody who's sleeping like a baby and I'm tossing and turning about this person? What a waste, not only of my time, but what a waste of my words. How careless and tameless I can be. And you know what? We are all in the same boat. It's different for other people. Some people are quick to turn. Some people are like quick to go, oh, Lord, forgive me. But then there's other times, there are moments where you're just like, I can't. And you just keep saying, blah, 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 blah. And you don't notice how many words you use badly about things and people and we do examining of our heart. We do examining of all these things. But do we actually ever sit down and go, God, how is my word life? How am I speaking today? Because that is a good question. Because if we can know what we're speaking, we can know the condition of our heart. Because our words align to what's in our hearts. And if I don't deal with my heart issue, you know what happens? I will automatically speak my issues into the world. The reason why I don't like Facebook and the reason why I don't like TikTok and all, even though I use all those platforms, the reason why, and I hate it, the reason why I don't like it is because we have this issue in our heart and then the issue starts flowing into the world. It starts flowing into our workplace. It starts flowing into our marriage. It starts flowing into my kids. It starts flow. You don't know that the power of your words actually flow. They're saying that, I don't like the saying at all. They're saying like, sticks and stones might break your bones, but words will never hurt me. That's untrue. Words hurt you. Because words have death and life. There's no in between. So either I'm going to bring life to someone or death. And you might be going, oh, but I'm only joking. Oh, I'm on this. No, death. So if I don't deal with my heart issue, I will automatically speak my issues into the world. And then when I speak it into the world, I'm allowing that to frame my life. So when I don't deal with this, I start speaking things that I shouldn't be speaking, resentment that I shouldn't be saying, envy and bitterness that I shouldn't be saying. And when I start doing that, I start framing my world. And you know what happens when you start being envious and unforgiving and all this, and you start speaking that and having conversations, like me and Leah had a conversation, I started talking badly about my wife, right? all I'm doing is framing my marriage to have bitterness, anger, having all the things that God doesn't want me to have. Everything that God died for, I'm putting back into my life. Because my words frame my life. And the question I want to ask us today, how is your word life? And I'm not talking about your Bible life. I'm talking about what you're saying. Because what you say reveals what the condition of your heart. And if you're saying that I'm a loser, if you're saying that I'm worthless, if you say that's showing the condition of your heart. If you're saying that this person will never come to Christ because it will never happen, all you're saying is that my heart has an issue. The power of words. And so when I speak into the word, I'm allowing that to frame my life. So now the frame I'm building is one of resentment, as I said, bitterness, unforgiveness. And you know what? You know what other frame we're building in our life? Holier than thou. That's what we're doing. I can't believe so-and-so didn't come to church. Oh, I can't believe blah, blah. You know what you're doing? You're framing your world with things that you shouldn't be framing it with. We should be framing our life from the Word of God. Because within the Word of God, there is life. And life abundantly. But when you start, oh man, I can't believe that person said this. Oh, I can't believe this person said this. You know what happens? You're framing your life. And you don't know that private conversation starts becoming an open conversation. And that open conversation comes into alignment to your life. And then you start feeling, I'm always angry. I'm always resenting. I'm always unforgiving. I'm always this. Because you come back to this issue, your heart. Because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Because our words align to our heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, check your heart. Hey, don't turn to your spouse like that, hey? Not with the attitude, okay? I just said, check your heart. No, check your heart, man. Hurry up, check your heart. Tell the other person that you didn't say that to, there is power in your words. Then tell another person that's around you, say, your words have a mission. And the question we need to ask ourselves, the words that I'm speaking, what am I speaking into my existence firstly, but what is the mission of my words? When we talk to our children, what is the mission for our words? When we talk to our loved ones, what is the mission for our words? When we talk to our enemy, the person that is like, ugh. Everyone has somebody, ugh. Someone has, ugh. There is somebody, like somebody irks you, makes you feel, ugh. But you know what? God will keep them around so that you can deal with your problem. People are like, oh, I don't know why this person is still in my life. The reason why that thing or person's in your life is because God's trying to teach you something. When I was at Bunnings, the reason why I was like, God, take me out. You called me into ministry, just take me out. And the reason why he didn't take me out was because he needed to teach me how to love. Because who was I with the whole time? People who are not saved. It's easy to love people in the church, harder to love people that you don't know. Harder to love people who swear at you. Because customer service is brutal. Like some customers just don't care. But how do I love in the midst of that? How do I show the love of Jesus through the midst of you yelling at me for something that I didn't even do wrong with the person beside me, but it's okay, I'll take it. How do I just keep loving? We need to check our heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, because our words align to our heart. And so we need to check how we are speaking, but also what we are speaking. Like, just take this moment. Why don't you close your eyes? Just think about anything right now. And ask God, God, can you show me how my word life is? How am I speaking to my spouse? How am I speaking to my loved ones? How am I speaking to my colleagues? How am I speaking to anybody, my children? And if you know it's bad, or the, what the Bible says, evil, today can you be your turning point? And I'm not saying that it's going to be roses and dandelions and suns, but I'm just saying you're making a decision today to not use your words aimlessly, but now you're going to choose today to use your words with purpose and with a mission. Words that bring life, words that inspire, words that encourage, rather than words of death, because death and life are in the tongue. And so the decision that we need to make, church, as we build momentum this year, we need to check the way that we speak. Sometimes words just come out, like, hit your toe and you quickly, damn it. But some other words, right? I'm not talking about those moments. I'm talking about moments where you're having conversation and all of a sudden that conversation starts turning into attacking point for another person. When that happens, we need to go, okay, how's my heart attitude towards them? And it might be something that you don't even realize, but we need to examine the way we speak because that will show what's really in here. I've been learning a lot this week just in what I'm saying and how I'm portraying Jesus. And the gym, like at Jets, have been my place of just getting away from things. But God's really pushed me in a place where I'm only wearing one headphone just to have conversation. And it happened literally last night. Like, I always see the same guys all the time. Then we started to have a conversation. In that conversation, I realized there was Psalm 1. But not just Psalm 1. I'm talking to another PK, a pastor's kid. I can tell. The one thing about me, the gift that God has given me, I can discern really well where someone is at with God. And I can see that these boys know God, but don't know no God. I feel like it's my responsibility to show the love of Jesus in the midst of my gym. Even though it's supposed to be my time away from everything, God's like, nah, I want your whole life, not just when you want me. You know, the moments here, oh, I just want to go watch Netflix, because that's me sometimes. Oh, I just want to go and do Fortnite or whatever. Because we do that. Us boys, any boys here? Yeah, the boys haven't put their hand up because they played Fortnite all night last night. Oh, my goodness. But even in those moments, God can have control in those settings if we let him. And so God's really, really teaching me, Jordan, I need you to use your words. Because people are not just watching you like how you live your life, they're watching what you say. And so now the gym has been a place where I want to try to have conversation. Why? Because death and life is in my tongue. And if I can give life to somebody, you never know what that's going to do. And sometimes they don't even need to be saved in that moment. All I need to do, sow seed. All we need to do as a church, sow seed. It's not your responsibility to grow it. Just sow the seed. But then you can also sow the seed of death. We got to be careful on the seeds that we sow. Oh, man, the fruit that I'm having is all yuck. It's because what you sow on. The fruit is from the seed. And whatever you believed in or whatever you put in your life, it could be like, man, I'm worthless. You know what? You're going to produce worthlessness. But you know what? You can bring in, take that out and go, God, you know what? No, I'm not worthless because your word says this. Your word says I'm the head and not the tail. Your word says I'm above and not beneath. Your word says that I have a plan and purpose for me. If your word says it, that's your word. It will accomplish what it said. And it won't return void. Which means if it's not going to return void, it's the truth. Check your heart. There is power in our words. So check the words that we're saying. Examine it. And as we finish off today, let us examine our words we speak because there's power in it. I'm encouraging us and I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying it to me too, to step out like once a day and just look at our life and what we did during the day. How did I speak today? Because sometimes you don't even know some of the words that you say. Sometimes you just, bleh. But imagine if we all just stopped and just go, God, how was my words today? And then God and Holy Spirit says, you could have did better in this situation. You're a bit harsh. You weren't very inspiring. You weren't very encouraging. You're actually tearing that person down. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. How do I fix that? Because we're not going to be perfect overnight just because we heard this word. What we can do is apply it. What we can do is take one step at a time every day and just go, God, how's my word life today? Okay. And then you just start thinking back what you did during the day. You're like, okay, I could have been better in that situation. Oh, I shouldn't have yelled at my kids there. I should have did something else. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. We do examine every other area of our life but what we say. I'm encouraging us to look at what we say. Because what we say comes from the heart. Our words have the power to frame our lives. And you know what? It's either framing our lives God's way or it's framing our lives our way. Only two ways. Our way, which is the evil way, or God's way, which is the good way. If our hearts are not right, our words won't be either. If you notice that you're swearing a lot, and it, but I have no problem with people swearing, you know, like, just each to their own, cool, it doesn't bother me. But if we love Jesus, and we say that he is the lover of my soul, we need to really examine. If he's truly my lover, then I should check what I'm saying. What does the Bible say about it? Don't use, Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be your good and helpful so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Don't use foul or abusive language. And sometimes we can't help it in certain situations, but that's not an excuse for us to do it. Oh, that's sad, Pastor. Oh, why are you pulling up that? I'm pulling up that because we need to be accountable with what we say. What does the Bible say in Matthew 12? We just literally read it. In verse 36 to 37, on the day of judgment, people will give account to the careless words they speak. That's important to know. That our words are going to be, this is what you said. I want God to say, this is what you said, Jordan. Man, good and faithful servant. But I can tell you right now, man, like, I could do better. I could absolutely do better. It's the truth. I could absolutely do better. What needs to be dealt with? My heart. My heart needs to be dealt with. I've got to go back to God and go, God, keep renewing my heart. Create in me a clean and pure heart. That's not just a prayer for one moment thing when we accept Jesus. Create in me a clean and pure heart is an everyday process. Saying, God, create in me a clean and pure heart so that I may speak life. So they may speak your word in situations because your words frame your life. And so if you notice yourself that your talk isn't right, then your heart's not going to be right with who you are. And the only person that can fix your heart is Jesus. We said this at the beginning of Team Huddle, and it's been real clear to me, even though I've known this for such a long time, but it's more real and more like, that only God can fix people. This sermon may inspire you, encourage you, but God can transform you. Jesus can take the heart of stone out from you and give you the heart of flesh. Why? Because no man can do it. No man. No man knows the heart of man other than God. And so the only person who can fix your heart is Jesus. And you just got to be real. Oh man, my heart sucks. My heart's actually evil. I don't want to live this life like that. You know what we're preparing for? This has got nothing to do with this. You know what we're preparing for? Jesus' second coming.
What we're preparing for is us to be in glory. You know what I don't want to happen? That anyone here, anyone to come, to not be in glory. And so if our words could be purposeful, if our words can have a mission, tell somebody that Jesus loves them and he has eternal life for them. Oh, but it's not the right time. No. It's never going to be the right time because the enemy is going to put that in your head. Every day is the right day to tell someone. There's hell, there's heaven. God wants you in heaven. Jesus loves you with all his heart. And I want to tell us today, use our words. I was watching a YouTube thing last night, and I was cracking up, like, just with all the biggest names in the world. And they have all these platforms, but what they don't speak, they say, I love Jesus, and yeah, all this other stuff. But what they don't say is that we need to repent and come before God. What they don't say is that, guys, Jesus is coming back, and we just got to be right with him. But not just you, he wants your family to be right with him. You never hear that. But you always hear, oh, I love Jesus and all this Jesus and all this other stuff. But if someone doesn't accept Jesus in their life, what would happen? Because no one can go to the Father except through who? Jesus. So we should use our words wisely, use our words with purpose, that we speak Jesus in everything. And sometimes it's going to be hard. I know in board meetings you can't go, oh, Jesus, like, I'm not going to do that in a board meeting. But what I can do, after the board meeting and having conversation 1-1, I can have that conversation. So the only person who can fix our heart is Jesus. You can read all the Bible you want and go to church every Sunday. But if you don't let Jesus take your heart of stone and trade it for a heart of flesh, what you say will come out of you and that will be evil treasures. It doesn't matter how much Bible you read. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. If Jesus doesn't transform you, and he does use his word, he does use worship, he does use prayer to help transform, but we have to surrender to Jesus. Jesus is the one. And so we just need to make that decision. You can make this decision today or tomorrow, but I encourage us to make that decision today because tomorrow is not promised. But I always got to go, God, but man, I've got so much ahead of me. There's so much stuff that I haven't completed. I use that as a scapegoat because I'm like, God, there's so much. You know what? I haven't done this and this and this. You showed me what I need to do. But God's like, don't worry about that. Stay focused on me today. Because if that doesn't come, what then? Just focus on today. Let's just focus on today. And so why don't we close our eyes? I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. You don't all have to stand, but if you want to stand, you can stand. But I'm talking to those who want to make a decision today and just go, yeah, I want to use my words how God uses words, and that's with purpose, and that's with a mission to give life and bring life to the situations that I'm in. And you're like, God, I'm sorry for misusing words. I'm sorry for flippantly using my words, but I'm going to start using my words with purpose. And today's the day I'm going to do it. If that's you this morning, I just want to ask you to stand. Just stand where you are. Now I want to talk to a second person or people. If there's anyone in here, your heart's saying, oh man, Jesus can never transform my life. He doesn't know what I've done. Well, I'm too evil. I'm too bad for God to forgive me. Can I tell you that he can wipe your sin as white as snow? Can I tell you that he will chuck all the things that you've done wrong into the sea of forgetfulness and he will remember no more? Can I tell you that he loves you unconditionally, even in the state that you're in? Can I tell you he has a plan and purpose for you and you don't even know it yet? You may know the idea of it, but you don't know it yet. And he wants to reveal that to you today. And if you want to make that decision, can I ask you to raise your hand just where you are, just going, God, I want to give you my life. If you want to recommit your life to God again and go, God, I want to recommit my life to you today. If that's you, just raise your hand just where you are. You know me. When it comes to people raising their hands, but they want to, but they don't, we're going to say this prayer together. And if your heart says it, it's a done deal. So let's pray. Pray after me. Jesus. Okay, let's do it again. Jesus, I give you my heart. I surrender it all. I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you for your grace. I receive your grace today. My life has changed. I'm renewed, and my sins are forgiven. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was you today, and you believed in your heart, this prayer's for me, you can have a conversation with me after church, or anyone in this church can have a conversation with you about Jesus. But for those who are standing who are making that decision today about their words, why don't you just raise your hands just where you are. Father, we just thank you just for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that your words have purpose and your words have a mission, that it won't return void and it will accomplish what it is set out to do. And so, Father, we're making a decision today that our words won't be aimless, that our words won't be purposeless, that our words won't be tameless, but our words will speak life, that our words will speak the very word of God into our existence. And so, Father, I pray that you help us to tame our tongue when things come awry. And I also pray that you deal with our heart issues that we may have. I pray, Lord God, in our secret place, in our time alone with you, I pray that you reveal the things that we need to deal with, the issues of our heart. Because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so, Father, we don't only just surrender our words, we surrender our heart this morning. They let you transform our heart this morning so that when we speak, we're speaking out of the good treasures that only can come from the Father. Because the only good thing is you, God. You say in your word, you are the only thing that is good, that nothing else is good other than you. And so, Father, we surrender our words, we surrender our heart, we surrender our mind, we surrender our jobs, we surrender every part of our life to you today. And that we say, Lord, use it. We say, use it. We believe that you're going to use the very place of influence that we have to speak life into those situations and to speak life into the people around us so that they may know you and that they will be set free because of you, Jesus. We're not here on earth just to have fun and to have a job, but we're here to preach the gospel through our lives. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and saturate each person that is standing in your presence today to move their words towards you. We look to the heavens. We look to you, Jesus. We look into your word, and we thank you, and we give you honor. And we give you all glory because all praise is yours. And let praise continually be not only on our lips, but on our heart. And so, Father, we thank you. We glorify you, for you are good. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen. Give God a hand.